In just a few minutes, we're going to be standing and singing songs that have been announced as a means of encouragement for those who are outside the body of Christ. Very happy to have a number present with us today. We have a number of people from the community and maybe from different congregations here today. Certainly count you our honored guest and invite you to linger for a little bit after the services are over that we can get better acquainted with you. We'll try to preach the truth. Hopefully you'll find that the case today. We'll have PowerPoint charts behind us here that you'll be able to look at this morning and follow along. It's going to be a very logical sermon to follow along with, probably going to last about 30 minutes. And then you can just take those things home with you and think about it. And if you need to make maybe changes in your life, you certainly have the opportunity. Certainly have the opportunity to do so. Last Sunday night, we started talking about authority, about why we even need authority. Today, I want to take you first of all to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John there at the gate called Beautiful, and they see a man that is lame there. It says, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he was asking to receive alms, but Peter along with John fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said unto them, or unto him, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk." And of course, from Acts chapter 3 to Acts chapter 4, this causes a great stir. In chapter 4 and in verse 7, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, by what power or in what name have you done this?" They were upset. They were upset that a man had been healed. They were upset that a man was able to walk again. If we would normally see this today, we would be glad that somebody was able to regain his sight or to regain his ability to walk again or to have some diseases removed from them. That would be a wonderful thing. But these people at this time were very angry at these two men as well as the other apostles. In verse 10 of chapter 4, it says, "Let it be known to you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands before you in good health." In fact, he goes on to say in verse 12, "For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." I was thinking about authority. I think about a story that I heard a while back. Go about a governor. It seemed like he was in Massachusetts or Maine somewhere. And he was out campaigning for governor. And as he was campaigning for governor, at the end of the day, he became very, very hungry. And finally, they came to this little dinner there that they had for the governor, for the rest of the people. And there was a little old lady back there, and she was giving away fried chicken. And she was giving each person one piece of fried chicken. Well, the governor came up, and he looked at that, and he said, "Can I have two pieces of chicken?" And she said, "Well, no." So he decided he's going to use his authority, swing his weight a little bit. He said, "Do you not know who I am? I am the governor of Massachusetts." And she said, "Do you not know who I am? I'm the lady that gives one piece of chicken. Move on." Well, we see authority. We see authority in different ways, but we're going to look at it from the standpoint of the Bible this morning, from the standpoint of what the Word of God has to say for us to follow. We saw last week in our study that authority, there must be authority in religion because there's no way of developing faith without it.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's no such thing or is right or wrong without it. You got five billion people on the earth. Who's going to decide what's right and what's wrong? You're going to have 5 billion different choices as to what's right or what's wrong. So we understand there's no such thing as right or wrong without it. Reconciliation is impossible without it. It averts confusion and chaos. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40 says, it says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and in verse 23, you can turn over there for just a minute. Jeremiah 10 and in verse 23. Jeremiah 10, verse 23, it says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not within himself, nor it was in a man who walks to direct his steps. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not genetically possible for a man to know that which is right or wrong. He has to be guided by something other than himself. The question is, are you going to be guided by somebody else? Or are you going to be guided by a higher power? Are you going to be guided by the word of God? And the first thing we looked at last week is that God being God demands it. Over in Romans and in chapter 9. Romans chapter 9 and in verses 20 and 21. It says in verse 20, on the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? A thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does it not the potter have the right over the clay to make for the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? So today we want to look at the question, where is authority found? Well, we have two choices normally, and that is that of man or that of God. In Matthew and in chapter 21 and in verses 23 through 27, Matthew 21, and in verse 23 through verse 27, Matthew 21, verse 23, it says, when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching, saying, by what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? What they were talking about, they were aggravated, they were angry that Jesus had just run the money changers out of the temple. He had just run the Sadducees out of the temple. They didn't like that because that was getting in their pocketbook. And if you want to make people mad, that's one way that you can do it, is try to get into their pocketbook. But this is what was happening with these people. Jesus was destroying their commerce at that time by saying that my Father's house is not a house of merchandise. And they became very angry at this. They became angry at this to the point now that they are going to put him to death. They had made the decision earlier to put him to death and to put Lazarus to death over in chapter 11 of John and chapter 12 of John. But now they are really serious about deciding that Jesus Christ has to die. And he has to die probably this week, was their decision. Well, we see here the question that was asked though. The question is asked to Jesus, the baptism of John, where was it from? Was it from heaven or was it from men? Who gave John the authority to baptize? That's the question that Jesus is posing to them now. They wanted to know about what authority did you run us out of the temple? Jesus turns around and he says, here, the baptism of John, where was it from? Was it from God or was it from men? And in verse 25, the latter part of verse 25, it says, they began reasoning among themselves, saying,
If we say from heaven, he will say to us, then why did you not believe him? If we say from men, we fear the people, for all regard John as a prophet. And he answered Jesus, and they said, we do not know. And he also said unto them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Of course, he does in just a minute when he talks about the parable of the two sons and the landowner. But he's not going to tell them at this time.
So we have a line of demarcation here about what we're going to do. We're either going to have truth. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23, buy the truth, do not sell it. Also, wisdom and instruction and understanding. Talking about error in James chapter 5, verse 20. A sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sin. Over in Matthew and in chapter 16, and in verses 13 through verse 23, Matthew 16 and verse 20 through verse 23. Familiar passage to probably a lot of people in here today that know something about the church.
It says in verse 13, and when Jesus came to the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is?
You got a choice. Some people say, I think it was in verse 14, some people said, well, it is John the Baptist. Other people said, it's Jeremiah. Other people said, it's Elijah. It talks about Elijah at the very end of the Old Testament, Elijah coming back again. Or one of the prophets. So this is how some people are going to decide.
I'm just going to look at it myself. And say, well, Jesus is... maybe one of these up here. In verse 17,
Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
And then he says in verse 17 as well, or in verse 17 it says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So that tells me something. How Peter knew this.
This was revealed by God.
Very quickly for the remainder of our study. Where does authority come from? Maybe with man. Maybe you find that you are going to inherit your religion. A lot of people, they do this, just like they do with a political party. They don't look at the political parties. They don't look at the platform of a political party. They just say, well, my family was a Democrat, so I'm going to be a Democrat. Or my family is a Republican, I'm going to be a Republican, or whatever it is. And that's the decision that they make, just like in religion. My family was a member of this church, therefore I'm going to be a member of this church. There used to be a song years ago.
I remember the Carter family used to sing it. Give me that old time religion. And they say in the verse that it was good enough for so and so. It was good enough for so and so. And therefore it's good enough for me.
So a lot of people decide, well, I'm going to be a member of this church or that church, because my parents or grandparents were members of that church. In Galatians and in chapter 1, Verses 13 and 14. You have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. Because Paul's mama and daddy was like that. That's the way Paul was going to feel. Well, is that us today? Maybe that of conscience. Conscience. What I feel. This feels good to me. This feels right to me. This feels like the place that I need to be. Over in Acts and in chapter 26, the Apostle Paul, when he's there before Agrippa, Acts 26, and in verse 9, he says, "So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He's bringing people before the Sanhedrin in order to be killed. And he was doing that at that point in time with a good conscience. It was the way that he was feeling. Do you remember back in 2 Kings and in chapter 5, there was a man there named Naaman, and Naaman was a captain of the Syrian army. But Naaman had leprosy. You remember the story? And in the middle of the story, as Naaman was told to go and to dip 7 times in the Jordan River, it says in verse 11 concerning Naaman, it says, "Behold, I thought." He wasn't doing what God said for him to do. He had his own conscience toward this thing. There are other rivers over here that are cleaner than the Jordan River. Why don't I go over and dip 7 times in one of those rivers? But he wasn't listening to God. Maybe that of human wisdom. In 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1 and in verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and in verse 21. 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." What wisdom are you following today? Are you following human wisdom? We had a Bible class the other night where, I don't know, I guess we had 1/6 of the congregation there at the Bible study. And I told those people in the Bible study that night, it's amazing that you can have a 30-second commercial. And in that 30-second commercial, it can convince you to go and to buy something. This has been the way that it's been since about 1950, 1951, when they came out. But I tell you what, with a 30-minute sitcom change the direction of your life? If a 30-second commercial can make you go buy something, will a 30-minute sitcom change the direction of your life away from God? Human wisdom. Not only that, that of traditions and customs that we've always We've always done it like that. I've never heard that before. So therefore, we're not going to do that. Over in Matthew and in chapter 15 and in verse 6, Matthew chapter 15 and in verse 6. In verse 5 and 6, verse 5 it says, "But whoever says to his father or your mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God." Some of the versions say that it is Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. And what they mean by that in chapter 15 here, verses 5 and 6, that I've committed my money to the temple now, and therefore the temple service is supposed to take care of mom and dad now. I don't have to take care of mom and dad anymore because I have committed my money elsewhere. Then he goes on to say in verse 6, "By this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition." Why, in that period of time when they didn't have nursing homes and people were supposed to care for their families back then, this 2,000 years ago. But why would they try to twist the word of God to even get out of that simple responsibility? Maybe that of religious leaders and preachers. It says in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 13 and 14, Matthew 15 verse 13 and 14, he is answered, he said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up," or uprooted. "Let them alone, they are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into the pit." Or maybe the majority. Maybe that's how you're developing your standard of authority. Well, the majority are doing this. There's a million people out there following this religion. There's over a billion people out there following this religion. If there's that many people following that religion, it seems like they have something. It seems like that is right. Well, is it? Can a billion people be wrong? Maybe the brethren. Maybe different magazines that you read are going to be your authority. That you're going to quote old brother so-and-so because he wrote in that magazine about whatever it is you're having a problem with. Over in Colossians and in chapter 2 and in verse 8, Colossians 2 and in verse 8, it says, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy or empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." Maybe creeds are manuals over in Galatians and in chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 in verse 7. It says in verse 7, "Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." I hear this all the time. "Well, my creed book is just like the Bible." Your creed book just like the Bible? What do you need a creed book for? You got the Bible. Why would you do that? Well, because it's different than the Bible. It has traditions. It has tradition for people to follow instead of following the Bible. or other churches over in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 20. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 20. I hear every now and then, well, let's be like other churches. Let's do what other churches do. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and in verse 20. It says in verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. This is when they were getting ready. When they were getting ready to appoint a king. And this is what they wanted. This is what they desired. So that they could be like other nations. And you see what it got them. Well, today, a lot of times, we want to base our authority on what other churches are doing. One of the next Bible classes we'll have outside of the building, I suppose they wanted a Bible class on what's happening, maybe from the West coming this way. It hits Kentucky after a couple of years, maybe 5 or 10 years. And one of the things that is coming is churches without walls. That you're going to be able to Skype in your attendance. You're going to be able, the church will provide you unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine and a little package every week sent to you. You have a little scan there in order to scan your contribution for the week or the month and a credit card. And one person can be in a small room that doesn't hardly cost the church anything, and we can have 75 to 100 laptops out here with everybody's smiling face on it. And nobody has to come to services. You can be on the golf course with your smiling face. You can be in the shopping center with your smiling face. Wherever you want to be. If you're just dragging out of bed with your hair sticking out, you can be right there for us to look at. Is that what God intended? That's what some churches are going to go to in the next few years. But do we have authority? Do we have authority for that? Or the good that results? Look at all the good that we can do over in Romans and in chapter 3 and in verse 8. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 8. Listen now. He says in verse 8, and why not say, as we slanderously reported, and as some claim that we say, let us do evil that good may come. That's what some people are basing the authority on. Let us do evil. Let us do the things that aren't in the Word of God at all. But look at all the good that's going to come from it. Very quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. In verse 1. It says it is God that speaks through His Son. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus or by the authority of Christ. Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus said, all authority has been given me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 17, verse 5, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and in verse 2. Don't have to. Don't take away what I've spoken to you. Or Psalm chapter 138, verse 2. For I have magnified my word above my name. The question is for us today, which authority are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the authority of God? Or are we going to follow the authority of man? It's your choice today as to what you're going to do. You know the life that you're living right now. You know the decisions that you've made within your life, that are they godly decisions or are they man-made decisions? Well, we would encourage you today that if you need to be baptized into Christ, or for those that have fallen away from God and are ready to come back to the Lord right now, come, while together we stand and we sing.